Thank you, Brother Rick, for such kind introduction. And good morning, brothers and sisters. I am glad to be here with you. Not that I might be up here where I am, but to be in your midst. And I do ask of you that you will remember me in your prayers this morning. Because I realize that in my own wisdom, I do not have the ability to give you that spiritual food that you need. But with the help of our Heavenly Father, I am sure that He can pour out upon us the blessings that we need at this time. I feel sometimes my great human weakness. I say weakness as though it were one. I have many. And sometimes they flare up and cause difficulties. But I am sure that knowing you as I do, that you will pardon me if I do seem to falter. And I might say that I don't see quite as well as I used to for some reason. I'd like to read for our consideration this morning to get us started off here some of the words that were recorded long ago for our benefit, that they might draw us closer to our Heavenly Father, that they might make us to realize our great need of His guidance, of His direction, of His help. Now I know that I'm talking to a group of people that are aware of that. And as I look back over a few years and notice the changes that have taken place in our society, and feel the pressure that these changes which have taken place are making upon us as a people, I am caused to feel that we need continually to be reminded of the responsibility which God has placed upon you and me as His children, to savor in some way the society in which we live. And so, as we come together, and as I say, my eyes aren't quite as good as they used to be, so if you'll pardon me while I make them a little clearer here, and pick my book up where I can see it a little bit better than I used to be able to be, I'll appreciate it. And I'm reading from the Book of Mormon, Writings of Mormon, one of the last prophets of the ancient Americans who were here when Columbus came over and thought he'd found India, and was a long way away from India. But he found the descendants of Joseph instead. And I'm in the second chapter, the 36th verse, if you care to follow through with me, page 699. And he writes this, Therefore, I write a small abridgment, daring not to give a full account of the things which I have seen, because of the commandment which I have received, and also that ye might not have too great sorrow because of the wickedness of this people. At the time this was written, the society in which Mormon was living was deplorable. And now, behold, this I speak unto their seed. This was intended to be brought forth many years later, and it did. And now, behold, I speak this unto their seed and also to the Gentiles who have care for the house of Israel, that realize and know from whence their blessings come. And that's the reason we're met here together this morning, because we realize from whence our blessings come, from our Heavenly Father. For I know that such will sorrow for the calamity of the house of Israel. Not only did the Jews, but the entire 12 tribes of Israel, scattered throughout the earth. And that's the people to whom he's writing. Yea, and they will sorrow for the destruction of this people. They will sorrow that this people had not repented, that they might have been clasped in the arms of Jesus. Now these things are written unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, and they are written after this manner, because it is known of God, excuse me, that wickedness will not bring them forth unto them, and they are to be hid up unto the Lord, that they may come forth in his own due time. And they did, and we have it. And this is the commandment which I have received, and behold, they shall come forth according to the commandment of the Lord, when he shall see fit in his wisdom. And behold, they shall go unto the unbelieving of the Jews. We have a job to do, don't we? We have begun the job to carry this gospel to the house of Israel. But I don't know of any effort so far to carry it to the Jews. I am hoping that I may get to live to see the day when it shall go forth to the house of Judah. And I think and believe that it's soon. We rejoice that it's gone to other parts of the world. And of course, Israel is scattered all over the world, in all the nations. And behold, they shall go unto the unbelieving of the Jews, and for this intent shall they go, that they may be persuaded that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that the Father may bring about through his most beloved his great and eternal purpose in restoring the Jews and all the house of Israel to the land of their inheritance, which the Lord their God hath given them unto the fulfilling of his covenant. And I am grateful that I have lived to see the day when Israel was given back a part, a small part, of her homeland. I look back and see the many things that have happened in my lifetime, and I'm grateful for the great love of God that I have seen exhibited not only in the church, but by the mercies of God Himself. I want to read again the 42nd verse. That the Father may bring about through His most beloved, His great and eternal purpose in restoring the Jews or all the house of Israel to the land of their inheritance, which the Lord their God hath given them unto the fulfilling of His covenant. And also that the seed of this people may more fully believe His gospel, which shall go forth from them unto the Gentiles. For this people shall be scattered and shall become a dark and filthy and loathsome people beyond the description of that which hath ever been amongst us, yea, even that which hath been among the Lamanites, and this is because of their unbelief and idolatry. For behold, the Spirit of the Lord hath already ceased to strive with their fathers, and they are without Christ and God in the world, and they are driven about as chaff before the wind. They were once a delightsome people, and they had Christ for their shepherd. Yea, they were led even by God the Father. And now, behold, they are led about by Satan, even as chaff driven before the wind, or as a vessel is tossed upon the waves, without sail or anchor, or without anything wherewith to steer her, and even as she is, so are they. And behold, the Lord hath reserved these blessings, which they might have received in this land. This little light is highlighting some places and not lighting some others. I like the light, but it's throwing me here just a bit. And also the Lord will remember the prayers of the righteous which have been put up unto Him for them. O then, O ye Gentiles. Now He's talking to us. O then, O ye Gentiles. How can ye stand before the power of God except ye shall repent and turn from your evil ways? Know ye not that ye are in the hands of God? Know ye not that He hath all power, and at His great command the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll? Therefore repent ye and humble yourselves before Him, lest He shall come out in justice against you, lest a remnant of the seed of Jacob shall go forth among you as a lion and tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver. So there are conditions of facing our generation in America today. And we have to face it day by day. And in facing it, we run into opposition and we run into difficulties. I remember, I don't know, maybe you've heard me bear this testimony before, and I hope that it won't be boring to you if I do it again. While I was in the service of my country, our country, a number of years ago, I had a class, boys from all over the country. When we finished our class and had our assignments, I was sent to Pensacola, Florida. One of my classmates lived there, had a business there, and he was assigned there on duty. One day he had a party for all of his classmates that were available. And it was on a Sunday afternoon. And I said to Dorothy, I think it would be well if we went to pay our respects. And we did. And as is quite common in the South, and I'm not sure it's, but what it's all over the United States, when people have parties of that sort, why, there's always some strong drink that goes along. And so they came to me and said, Denham, what will you have to drink? And I said, how about some 7-Up? Well, yes, we have 7-Up. So they bring Dorothy and me each a glass of 7-Up. And the host came around a little later and said, Denham, what are you drinking? And I said, 7-Up. 7-Up? What's the matter with you? Are you a preacher? Well, I could tell right off he wasn't very friendly to preachers. So we have to face ridicule sometimes. But you know, I've found that when that happens, there's a deep respect down underneath. Now, whether that situation will continue or whether it will erode away, I expect it to erode away. The Lord says we shall have difficulties as we go through life, and we can expect them. We'll be persecuted. I remember hearing a brother say one time at conference time, if we do thus and so, we'll bring persecution upon the church. Did Christ get through his life without persecution? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And neither are you and I going to get through life without persecution if we do what God has called us to do. So we might as well steel ourselves against the fear of persecution and be ready to accept it as a part of the price we pay for eternal life. Is it worth it? Why, of course it's worth it. I jotted down a few notes. I don't know that I'll use them. I may refer to some of them and thought maybe I'd give them some consideration. But I would like to go back in time and remind us of some of the things that have happened to our forefathers. I think of the early days of the church and what it has been through and what it has seen, what it has had to face. And you know, our forefathers were not too much different than we. I can remember my grandfather, George P. Frisbee, who came here in 1867. And some of the many things that he had to go through in his life. And I think of the group of people that came with him and his family as they moved to Jackson County in 1867, just a year or so after the close of the Civil War. And this was a place where the North met the South. And it was rough. It was not a pleasant place for people to live because the problems of the North and the South, which were in opposition to one another, caused a great many difficulties. And I can remember my grandmother telling me about her experience in getting out of Missouri and going across the line into Kansas, where they wouldn't have as much problem as they had on the Missouri side of the line. Very shortly after that, our folks came down from Illinois. And as they did so, they hardly got here until the one who had given the revelation that it was time for them to come, until he gave another revelation. And that was, scatter out and let the wind blow between you, because the time of the gathering is not for many days. That was a contradiction, what he had given not too many months before. But it had its effect. And do you know of those 12 families which came down in that big wagon train from Illinois? Only one family is still represented in the church. Only one family. The rest of them have gone. Where? Back to the churches of the world. And you know that hurts. That really hurts. Much depends upon our faithfulness, brothers and sisters. And I wonder how well we are going to be able to hold on to our faith in Jesus Christ and the promises which he hath made. It's a thing which is individual. You have to do it for yourself. I look at my family, and I'm not sitting here in judgment upon them. My mother and father raised 8 of us. And 2 of those children are represented in this room today. And most of the rest of them that are not represented by those 2 are not even in the church. I say most, not all, but most. And that hurts. How much does the gospel of Jesus Christ mean to you and to me? How much does it mean? Well, it means a whole lot to you, or you wouldn't be here. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have been able to live to see all of you and those before you who have come into the church since that day. I'm glad you're my brothers and my sisters, because you're mighty precious to me, I can tell you. Might I Well, I don't know how to put it in words. Might I express to you some of the problems that I faced as I grew up, that it might excite your memories a little bit and inspire us to greater heights? I was thinking about some of these things the other day, and I thought, I'll jot them down. And maybe just to express them might help somebody to think about what happened in their lives and inspire them on to greater heights. And that's what we are here for this morning, to inspire each other to greater heights. And we're all interested in one another, or we wouldn't be here. And I'm grateful for every one of you. But I remember, as a child, I had a dream. And that dream so impressed me that I've held on to it. I was 6 or 7 years of age when this happened. My mother, back in those days, 1916, 1917, wore her dresses down till all you could see as she walked along was the end of her toe. Her dress was about that far above the floor. Styles have changed a lot, haven't they? I see some smiles. But you know, that great, and I might say she had I don't know how many underskirts on, but it made it come out like a tent. And a little boy could hide behind his mother's skirts and peek out around and see what was ahead. There came a knock at the door. And of course, that little boy was as curious as his mother about who was knocking at the door. Now, this was my dream. And she went to the door. And I was right behind her, looking around to see who had come. And who do you suppose was standing there at the door? His Satanic Majesty. And what he wanted was that little boy behind her skirts. I recognized him. I knew what he wanted. But you know, that was a warning to me that has stayed with me for the many years since. He still wants that little boy that stood behind her skirts. And he wants each one of us. Of course, she was not about to let him have that little boy. And I thank the Lord for giving me such a wonderful mother, because she taught me many things. The most important was Jesus Christ. And in time, it came an opportunity to make a covenant relationship with God in the waters of baptism. And when I went down into that water, came out again and waited for the other three or four to follow, I heard the most beautiful singing that I ever heard in my life. And I presumed that the congregation was singing. I later found out, to my great surprise, that nobody heard it but me. And every time I thought of that wonderful, beautiful song, which stuck with me and still is with me yet, except for the words, I thrill from the top of my head to the soles of my feet with the loving Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes, I've had temptations, and you've had temptations. I've had to resist them, and you've had to resist them. We could not have resisted them without the power of the Spirit of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. We couldn't have done it. I couldn't have taken the rebuke, yes, it was a rebuke from my supposedly friend who said, "Well, what's the matter with you? Are you a preacher?" And belittled me in front of all of his friends, or tried to. I wouldn't be belittled. I felt it was an honor, if that's the way they felt. Yes, I've had temptations too, and so have you. We're here for that purpose. We're here to be tried. And we are tried. You don't know a soul. You don't know a soul who has arrived at the age of accountability but what has had trials and do have trials, and some of those trials seem to be almost unbearable. But God has promised that He will not give us that which we cannot handle. We have to depend upon God to do it. It's those trials that make us strong enough to be God's children. My brothers and sisters, I'm glad that I have the comfort which you give to me through your prayers, and I know that you remember my family and myself. It isn't easy to bear up under all that we have to bear up under, but God has still said He won't give us more than we can handle. Let us hold fast to that rod of iron right there, that leads us to the end of the way successfully. I am grateful that we're being able to reach out to other parts of the world who need to know of the great and wonderful events that are about to take place. The coming of Jesus Christ is close. In case some of you haven't heard me bear this testimony, I'd like to bear it. And those of you that heard it, I hope will not be feel bored by again and testimony of mine. Excuse me. I was lying in bed one night. I had just awakened. It was near midnight. And I was aware that there was something in the room that was difficult to describe. It was not something fearful, but something unusual. And suddenly, as though I heard a voice, which I didn't hear any sound, the words came to me. The coming of Christ is very near. And I thought at the time, well, if the coming of Christ is that near, what needs to be done in order to be prepared for that coming? And I thought about it. What did I need to do to get myself ready? That there might not be any question but what I would be ready. And then again I heard it wasn't loud. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a voice I could hear as audibly as you're hearing mine. Have oil in your lamps. Have oil in your lamps. Now, what is the oil? That's the preparation that you and I have to make that we might be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God so that we will be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. How close to are we to it? We don't know. Very close. I remember a revelation that was given to the church in 1831. And that revelation, I wish I had it here, but I don't. That I might read the whole thing. But it says that the world is ripening in iniquity. Now, we've all studied history. I don't know about the real young ones, because I don't know. I've heard there's so many different changes in the procedures along that line since I've been away from the schoolroom. But I presume and hope that it's still brought to our children's awareness that our forefathers in 1830 shortly after our country became a nation, independent nation, of the conduct that people were participating in then, quite different from today, in many ways, quite different. And that being the case, are we preparing ourselves for that great occasion when Jesus shall suddenly appear? Brothers and sisters, I'm sure you're as anxious about this as I am. That we need to be doing all we can that the spirituality in our lives may be so bright that it will radiate out to those around us, that we might be brought closer to our Heavenly Father, and that the manifestations of God's blessings may be ours to enjoy far more full than they are today. I'm not finding fault. I'm only wanting to encourage our spirituality and its development, that it might be to the fullest, that we might have a good effect upon our brothers and sisters who are not with us, our fellow men, in other words, that we might all be ready for that great occasion. Thank you.